Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Orenthal James Simpson, dead, a.k.a. O.J., a.k.a. The Juice. So many other names. Former Heisman Trophy winner. But he may be best known for this. Listen.
In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. O.J. Simpson on his way to hell right now, but I played that not guilty verdict because seemingly that has overshadowed everything else he has ever done in his life. You know, it's often said that the Lord loves a sinner. That's a sinner that repents. But how did Simpson live his life after that moment when he snatched the golden ring, when he won the lottery with that not guilty verdict? The same as he did before. No change, no apology, no repentance, no reformation, no doing good works. As a matter of fact, he continued to live his life boozing, drugging, sex assaulting women, beating them, stealing, mooching, and trying to live off his past glory as a football star. And somehow, it seemed to work. He got standing ovations every time he entered a restaurant or a bar, free courtside seats. You name it, special treatment wherever he went. Women throwing themselves at Simpson. Why? I don't know. I'm just a trial lawyer, not a shrink, but I know this. He murdered two people, and there's something else. Listen.
This is O.J. Simpson's one day in court. By your decision, you control his very life in your hands. Treat it carefully, treat it fairly. Be fair. Don't be part of this continuing cover-up. Do the right thing, remembering that if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Okay, you know, not many phrases can actually make me feel nauseous, but that's one of them. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. But first, I want to go to a special guest, a longtime and dear friend of Nicole Brown's, Keith Zlomcewicz. You can find him at KeithZK at AOL.com. Keith, thank you for being with us. You and Nicole were romantically linked for a long time, and you remained friends throughout her life. She told you a lot about O.J. Simpson before she was murdered. What sticks out in your mind?
She told me about all the violence that predicated us meeting. We actually had numerous instances of confrontation with O.J., face-to-face threats, stalking. But when I first met Nicole, she clued me in on a lot of stuff that happened in their prior. That she never really told her people. I think she's partially embarrassed that she allowed it to happen. She was trying her hardest to get out of the situation. So I unfortunately knew a lot of the horrible details about her situation and then lived it for several years up until her murder.
When you say, Keith Zlomcewicz, that you had numerous confrontations with Simpson, what do you mean by that?
Well, it started, I met Nicole in the winter of 92 in Aspen, and I didn't know who she was when I first met her. I didn't really care. She told me that she was divorcing her husband. He was abusive. So she started to fill me in on that kind of thing. She knew I had the restaurants in Los Angeles, so I'd be visiting out there soon after the initial weekend that we met. So we connected immediately upon me arriving to town. And the first night or two, she came to visit one of my restaurants, Mezzaluna in Beverly Hills. We had a big Tuesday night event that we did every week. So she brought some friends, and it started instantly. The first night I arrived in town, I went to visit her at her house, and we got 30, 40 nonstop phone calls, hangups. So we were convinced we were being watched immediately from that point. A night or two later, when she joined me at Mezzaluna in Beverly Hills with some of her girlfriends, OJ showed up almost instantly, you know, came pulling up in his Bentley, squealed the tires in front of the restaurant, slammed the door, came barging in right up to our table and slammed his fist down on the table and proclaimed that he was OJ Simpson and she was still his wife. So that was the first instance. And then it was followed by numerous other ones. Every time we went out, he would show up at whatever restaurant or bar. And then there's the famous night that he followed us home from Roxbury. We were at one night and watched us engaging in an activity through the window of her house. We both know that he tried to get in, but the house was locked and the alarms were set. And he approached the next day.
Okay, wait. Keith, I assume that this is the now famous incident where Simpson comes up to Nicole's house, and this is after they've broken up, and is looking in the window and sees you guys making out, kissing, and does a backflip, essentially.
We were unaware that he was outside the house, but we knew that he had followed us that evening. We were at several different places, and he showed up at them all. So Nicole just looked at me at one point and said, let's just go home. So we went home. We engaged in some activity in the downstairs living room, unaware he was outside watching us. We found out the next day when he showed up the house and her and I were in one of the back rooms and he burst in the door, got in my face, started threatening and screaming and yelling and, you know, tried to get her alone, which she was standing behind me. I was in between the two of them. So she was holding my hand and I could feel her trembling. It was a volatile situation and it could have gone either way. He wanted to be left alone with her and I wasn't having any of that at that point. I was aware of what had happened in the past, so I was scared for her safety and obviously my own. So we argued for several minutes until she convinced me to wait outside the door, but stay close. She made it very clear, stay within earshot so he could, you know, read her the riot act as he used to doing. So that was the day after he watched us through the house. And I could hear him screaming, you know, how he watched us through the window and he followed us home. So it was a bad scene.
To veteran trial lawyer with her own unique connection to O.J. Simpson and A.C. Cowlings, defense attorney in the Atlanta jurisdiction, Renee Rockwell, you and I both tried a lot of cases. And could you just take off your defense hat for just one moment and speak the truth? In what universe is Nicole Brown's killer not the same man that is stalking her and following her and attacking her even after they've broken up?
Well, Nancy, as not a defense attorney, of course, he's the usual and likely suspect. But here's a case where the jury has punished the state for the actions of the police.
Okay, you know, I know what you're doing. Bobby Chacon joining me, former special agent with the FBI, screenwriter, Criminal Minds. You can find him at bobbychacon.com. Bobby, you hear what she just did, right? She processed what I said, admitted it to be true that Simpson is the killer, because who else would it be other than the man that is stalking her and beating her and busting into the room with another guy there after they've broken up. But she said instead, don't look at that. Look at this. Look what the police did. What did the police do? They did nothing. You actually think there's some big conspiracy that they all got together and said, hey, let's frame our favorite football star. You know, the Heisman Trophy winner, that guy? Yeah, let's frame him. That was all BS. I asked Johnny Cochran, my former co-anchor, 1 million times. Simpson did it. He did it, didn't he? Cochran would never say no. He always said, and Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul, you know I'm telling the truth, he always said, Bobby, jury acquitted him.
Yeah, well, there's an old axiom that we just saw in play that says if you can't attack the facts, you attack the police. It's very popular in a defense bar. And obviously you gave a bunch of facts, stalking, beating, threatening, and then the defense attorney attacks the police. That's a very common axiom of the defense bar. And what you saw in the Johnny Cochran clip that you ran, he first started his closing argument saying, this is O.J. Simpson. And then he says, I want him treated fairly. And then you heard Keith say, O.J. walked into a restaurant, banged his hand on a table and said, I'm O.J. Simpson. Johnny Cochran didn't want him treated fairly. He wanted him treated as O.J. Simpson, the endeared athlete and celebrity that he was. So this ridiculous assertion that I want him treated like anybody else, that wasn't the defense position. The defense started the closing argument saying, this is O.J. Simpson. Treat him like the beloved athlete and celebrity that you know him to be. And so fairness went out the window.
This day, the day that O.J. Simpson is on his way to hell, he is still being lauded as a football icon, a star. But this is how I remember him. Listen.
Yes, can you send someone to my house? What's the problem there? Well, my ex-husband or my husband just broke into my house, and he's ranting and raving. Now he's just walked out in the front yard.
Has he been drinking or anything?
No, but he's crazy.
Is he black or Hispanic?
Black.
What's he wearing right now?
Black pants and a golf shirt.
You said he hasn't been drinking?
No.
Did he hit you?
No.
Did you have a fighting order against him?
No.
What's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Your address?
325 Gretna Green Way.
Is it a house or an apartment?
It's a house.
Okay, we'll send the police out.
Thank you.
Oh, and that's not all. Listen.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back.
Please. Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
Did you just say something?
I'll be over here.
Okay, what is he doing there?
He's over.
Wait a minute, what kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco, but first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Wait a minute, what's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay, is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute, we're sending the police. What is he doing? Is he threatening you?
He's freaking going nuts.
So what is he saying?
Oh, something about some guy. I don't know if there's a clue from that. I started this shit before, and it's all my fault. And then what am I going to do? Just sleep in on there? The whole thing. It's all my fault. I just got to do it before.
Joining me right now, special guest Shannon Henry, president founder of SASS, S-A-S-S, Surviving Assault, Standing Strong. Shannon Henry, did you hear there at the end? She says, this is all my fault. She's got Simpson breaking down the door. We've seen so many shots of Nicole Brown beaten up to a pulp. And she says, it's my fault. I'm the reason this is happening to me.
Right. And it's true. So many survivors try to navigate the way that these abusers are abusing them. It's, you know, they're making sure that they're not sleeping. They're controlling finances. They're physically abusing them, mentally abusing them. There's so many different things. You can't wear this. You can't go out with this person. And so what you see there is her going, gosh, I've tried so hard to manage the way that he treated me. But inevitably, it's always out of control because he's O.J. Simpson and this is what he does.
Shannon Henry, I was trying to get it out of Renee Rockwell, who has tried so many, many cases, including cases where there's domestic violence. But Shannon, is there any universe where the man that repeatedly stalks, beats the victim is not the man that kills her? That is crazy talk.
It is crazy talk. And we know that people like this in general do not change. They're going to keep this pattern of behavior, which always increases with intensity and frequency over time. And then you see that, you know, those wires in his mind are crossed so far back. His feelings, his safety, his emotions are first and foremost his priority, not hers. And it never will be. And you can say, well, can we get therapy? Can we do all the things to try to make this better? But again, those wires are crossed so far back. And it's kind of like if she were to stay with him, it's like putting an alcoholic in a bar and saying, don't drink. He is more in love. She may have been in love with him, but he is more in love with controlling her than he ever was with her, herself. And so they had two different definitions of love. She truly wanted to love him. She tried to stay from the age of 18 until he murdered her at 35.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
Did you just see somebody over here? Okay, what is he doing there?
He's got 12 us here.
He's throwing
me over.
Wait a minute, what kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco, but first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Wait a minute, what's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay, is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay,
wait
a minute, we're going to believe, what is he doing? Is he threatening you?
He's looking going nuts.
Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein, ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen, sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
O.J. Simpson, dead. But his legacy, and for those of you that can't see me, can only hear me, I'm definitely using air quotes. His legacy lives on. What legacy is that? No, not of a gridiron great, a Heisman Trophy winner, a loving father and husband. His legacy is getting away with murder. And then seemingly living the high life for the rest of his life after kicking Lady Justice in the teeth. A lot is being made of his football career and what a, quote, legend he is, but I want to show you something. This is the reality of O.J. Simpson. I want to warn you, this is graphic content. Crime scene photos from the night of a double murder. Nicole Brown left lying outside her home, covered in blood. From what we've learned from the autopsy report, her head was barely still on her body. Ron Goldman horribly, horribly sliced and stabbed. This is what O.J. Simpson is. Murder and desecration. And the suggestion that the police somehow formed a conspiracy to frame a football star is just more crazy talk. Somehow, my old co-anchor, Johnny Cochran, managed to pull it off. Did you see the look on all the lawyers' faces when the not guilty was announced? You're like, what? Did you hear that? Joining me right now, in addition to Nicole's longtime friend, Keith Zlomcewicz, Renee Rockwell, Bobby Chacon, Shannon Henry, Dr. Jory Crossan, Art Harris with me, former CNN national investigative correspondent who was on the Simpson case as it unfolded. You know, the problem now, Art, is that I don't think the victims have anywhere to put their anger and their grief. You know, at first, there was the trial. They got through the trial. Then there was the civil trial, which they won after Simpson scored, what, a negative 40 on his lie detector? Caught in one lie after the next, including those Bruno Mali shoes. The bloody footprints clearly were Bruno Mali's. He said he didn't own any, and then they were found in a photo from the Inquirer. I mean, there's just so many lies about that night. So they get through the civil trial. They win. They go on a crusade for justice. Simpson is dead. There's nothing to fight anymore. It's over. And to me, that really takes wind out of their sails. And it's just another reminder that Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown are never coming back.
So O.J. Simpson was a jock obsessed with someone he believed he owned, and that was Nicole. He was enraged that she was driving a white Ferrari he bought around Beverly Hills, around Metzaluna, and going to visit Ron Goldman. He was following them everywhere. And the night that they were visiting and she put candles out and tried to make it special for someone she found very special, who later would try to come between her and a knife and O.J. Simpson. This is crazy, the guy was obviously a sociopath, but also a psychopath. I mean, he had no compassion. I mean, if you can do this to the mother of your children, what can't you do?
So, hey, Art Harris, I got a question for you. You did a lot of investigative reporting. You did a lot of digging during the trial. Okay. Simpson is dead. How about the truth? Isn't it true that night, the night of the murders, he was high as a kite on drugs, possibly meth?
Well, he did a lot of cocaine, Nancy. I interviewed his limousine driver, who said that if you were a friend of OJ's, he would share his cocaine with you. Her cousin, Rolf Bauer, did a lot of cocaine with OJ, and that was a stumbling block in the marriage because he was out of it a lot. And that drug can make you especially enraged. And if he's doing other things too, Nicole was not totally innocent in the partying, but that was something that came between them. And this is something that, he was fueled with rage and often high on cocaine. So, but if you look at the bloody footprints in the walkway, police analyzed that and they were able to say that he moved between the two people, slicing and slashing, and then he cut himself. All the evidence was there, and the DNA did not matter because F. Lee Bailey had a plan to pick jurors who did not believe in DNA. There was very, very callous in terms of how to pick the right jury, that picking people who did not have, had never taken like high school science and math, and they bored them to death. And then they used OJ's celebrity to reach the verdict. He reached out to people he'd left behind long ago, Nancy, the black community he pretended to care about, but look at how he was living. He was not tried by a jury of his peers. If he had been, it would have been in Santa Monica, because his peers were country club golfers. So here he was. They found the gloves. They were his size, extra large. Nicole had gotten them for Christmas. All the evidence was there. It's just, how do you get over that?
State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
Okay, I was just looking at Johnny Cochran when that happened. He's like, what? Nobody can believe it, including me. You know, to you, Renee Rockwell, high-profile defense attorney in the Atlanta jurisdiction.
Well, would you have it?
You called me early, early this morning to remind me about a bet, and I'm not a betting person, much less on a case, so I wouldn't put any money on it. But we did do a handshake.
And Nancy, what was the bet? I bet you, just like in Michael Jackson, that he was not going to get convicted. And where does it start? From the venue where the trial was held, Nancy. Just like the relationship that was doomed from the start, so was the trial. There was not going to be a conviction, Nancy.
Those are two bets that I lost. And again, I'd like to reiterate, I did not put money on it. It was a handshake in a courthouse hallway. I swore there was no way Simpson was going to walk on this because the evidence was so strong. And somehow, by the time F. Lee Bailey and Johnny Cochran got through with the case, everybody believed the police had taken part in some big conspiracy. The police got put on trial, and Simpson walked. Okay, you know, I heard Art Harris talking about the crime scene. And Art Harris, there have been a lot of theories. And again, didn't you tell me that just before the murders, Simpson was with his dealer at a Burger King? And yes, you're right, it was cocaine, not meth. Isn't that true? He was with his dealer getting jacked up at a Burger King.
I believe so. So however he got it, Nancy, he had a lot of cocaine, and he would often share it with his friends. A limousine driver told me that, and a lot of people who were friends of his. He loved to party, and that's what he did.
Well, I guess you call it partying, Art Harris. I call it a felony. But that said, something else you said about the footprints, there have been a lot of theories that spin out over the years, such as his son was responsible, not true, that there were two attackers, not true. And you said something very critical that was never really emphasized at trial. The footprints that went back and forth between Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown were from the same person. There was one pair of Bruno Mali shoes going back and forth. There were no other footprints except for one person. Isn't that true?
That's right. And OJ cut himself in between cutting the two victims. So, you know, they got that DNA off the crime scene too, Nancy. And it was a horrific scene. And I don't know how you get over that, but they were able to see the way that the footprints moved, that that he was just going back and forth until they bled out. So this was, and he had,
because he was high as a kite on cocaine and angry. He was angry before he got jacked up. And when you've got a football player of his notoriety and his skill and his agility, as I was saying, he had hands the size of two Virginia hams. And then he's already angry about Nicole Brown seeing someone else. Then he gets cranked up on coke. What do you think is going to happen? But if that's not enough, he apparently is clairvoyant as well. Listen.
I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember.
What in the H-E-double-L? That is from his book, If I Did It. I remember I grabbed the knife. I do remember that portion, taking the knife from Charlie. Who's Charlie? And to be honest, after that, I don't remember. Joining me right now, Dr. Jory Crossan, psychologist, former law enforcement, and faculty at St. Leo University. Dr. Jory, thank you for being with us. Why is it that so many stone-cold killers are clairvoyant? Remember Scott Peterson said to his girlfriend, yeah, this is going to be the first Christmas I have without my wife. She died. And then, boom, it became true. And here you have Simpson having a dream of sorts about killing Nicole, and it matched up exactly with the facts. Wow.
Some of those are like delusions, definitely. And but can I address the thing about the cocaine? Because I find that very interesting, even back in that period of time. there was a lot of cocaine in use in this country. And here in Florida, we experienced several cases of what's called cocaine toxicity. That's like an overdose, but then the cocaine actually becomes toxic in the system, and it starts to create this hypervigilance and psychologically moves them into psychosis. And when you look at this attack, how aggressive and violent was, you know, that's outside the realm of normal human behavior. That's something I would expect to see as a psychologist, as a homicide investigator when I worked it, some substance to add to that aggression. And that could be like cocaine, definitely would fit, methamphetamine, phenacyclidine, PCP would be another one.
We, the jury in the above entitled case, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, as follows. Count 1, conspiracy to commit a crime, guilty. Count 2, conspiracy to commit kidnapping, guilty. Count 3, conspiracy to commit robbery, guilty. Count 4, burglary while in possession of a deadly weapon, guilty. Count 12, coercion with use of a deadly weapon, Alfred Beardsley. Alternative to count 6, guilty of coercion with use of a deadly weapon. Dated this third day of October 2008, juror number 3, foreperson. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, are those your verdicts as read? So say you one, so say you all, as to defendant Orenthal James Simpson.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson. Have a seat.
So this guy wins the jackpot, right? He gets a not guilty on a double murder when he so clearly did it. His blood at the crime scene when he cut himself, as Art Harris just reminded us, he has the bloody shoes, the Bruno Mali shoes that the footprints were at the scene. The victim's blood was on his socks found in his home. He did it. So what does he do after that? Does he reform? Does he say, oh, thank you, God in heaven, I'm going to lead a life to honor you or to make up to the victims, to make up to crime victims, to make up to battered women? No. He keeps on boozing, drugging, chasing every Nicole Brown lookalike he can find, sex assaulting them. There are reports that he would walk up to Nicole Brown in public, at restaurants and bars and grab her by her crotch in front of people. The beatings go on and on with different women. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. Instead of changing his life, accepting responsibility, maybe even apologizing. Hey, he could have even blamed his drug habit. A lot of people would have bought into that. But no, he did none of that. Instead, Art Harris, he teams up with a former co-defendant, I believe you're familiar with, Charles Ehrlich, a.k.a. Charlie Tuna, that I tried in inner city Atlanta and put away for cocaine for 20 years for trafficking in cocaine. He was a rich playboy at the time that lived in a high rise on Peachtree Street, right across from Lindbergh, and a big hunk of uncut cocaine was delivered to his place, and I got him. He gets out of jail early, Art, and somehow, out of all the places in the world, he makes his way to O.J. Simpson, and what do? Commit an armed robbery in Vegas. Amazing.
Nancy, he was there to reclaim, he said, his memorabilia that had been, you know, sold out from under him and that he felt entitled to. So he was told that it was in this room. Do you want to get into this? It was in the room at this hotel, and he shows up with a friend who has a gun, and suddenly, he's back in play for law enforcement. He's arrested and charged with armed robbery and gets 9 years. And often people wonder, was this, makeup sentence for what he avoided? your friend, your colleague, Judge Glass, threw the book at him. And, you know, he was never contrite. He was never, you know, he always blamed Nicole. And as often happens in, you know, in domestic abuse and murders, you know, he blamed her, and she it was her fault, because she was the one who made, quote, him mad, and she deserved it. And that's the only way he could, you know, go on living with himself, I suppose, because she was the woman behind his rage, and you know, was cavorting and having a normal life.
To Keith Zlomzowicz, Nicole Brown's boyfriend, Keith, have you noticed how even now people still gloss over, they airbrush the truth about Simpson's felonies, his crimes? For instance, he was roped in to the armed robbery in Vegas. He was, quote, back in play with law enforcement. He took things that he thought were his. That's all a lie. He met up with a guy I put in jail for 20 years on trafficking cocaine, and they commit an armed robbery in Vegas on unarmed people. That's what happened. But to hear it told, oh, he was just taking back some pictures and memorabilia, footballs that were really his to start with. That's BS. He was still doing the same thing.
It's a pattern that never changed from early on. And just to clarify, Nicole and I were not dating when she was murdered. He had forbid us to have any contact, and he threatened her pretty violently. The 911 tape that you played earlier in the program, where she says my name, sparked an incident where he absolutely went ballistic over us and refused to allow her any contact with me whatsoever. For the last several months of her life, sadly, we had no contact because of that. And she had tried the ill-fated reconciliation with him. But part of that deal was she was absolutely forbidden any contact with me whatsoever. So we had a last conversation after that 911 call. She informed me what had happened. I was out of town at the time. So just to clarify that. But as far as his other crimes, you know, and Charlie, there's a school of thought out there that was proposed to me by someone in LA that Charlie from Las Vegas was actually the Charlie mentioned in If I Did It at the scene of the crime. I mean, I know there's no evidence to show a second person there, but there's a theory out there that he was involved.
O.J. Simpson was convinced a former close friend stole some personal effects from him and was selling them through his sports memorabilia business. So Simpson put together a group of five men, and on the night of September 13, 2007, they stormed room 1203 at the Palace Station Hotel in Las Vegas and took the items back. Two of the five men O.J. led into the hotel room that night were carrying weapons. Within 3 days, all the men were arrested. O.J. was initially held without bail. Simpson faced 12 charges in all, including kidnapping and armed robbery. He was convicted on October 3, 2008 on all charges and was sentenced to 33 years in prison with possible parole after 9 years.
To Renee Rockwell, high-profile defense lawyer, joining us out of Atlanta, I remember the chase, the Bronco chase, where I guess O.J. Simpson held himself hostage.
That was a Bronco commercial, yeah. Nancy.
With a gun to his own head.
That was a Bronco commercial.
I mean, as if there were ever any doubt of rational minds that Simpson committed double murder, why would you go on the run holding a gun to your head after you'd already threatened suicide after the murder of your ex-wife? I mean, it's such clear evidence of guilt. And in that car was A.C. Cowlings.
That's true, Nancy. And let me remind you about the thousands of people that were on the roadway with signs. We love you, O.J. You know, free O.J. Do you recall that, Nancy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The thousands that were lining the roadway?
I remember very well. They were on bridges, and by the road. They even had posters already.
Right. And Nancy, why would you say that people just glossed over the armed robbery? He went to prison for that. That was not a gloss over. It was a party to a crime.
I said it because to hear it told now, and Art Harris was at the trial. He knows exactly what happened. He said, instead of saying he committed an armed robbery and stole things from unarmed people, he said, Simpson's back in play. It sounds like a football term. You're back in play. He committed armed robbery. That's a gloss over. He was high as a kite on coke. He murdered two people. He nearly cut off Nicole Brown's head. And it's glossed over. Did you know yesterday on the Heisman Trophy Twitter account, he was being mourned? All those posters along the highway of the Bronco chase should have been about Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. Instead, they were go juice.
They were.
Nancy, do you know, remember?
Somebody should have taken note. Somebody should have taken note of that and said, we're not trying him where he's going to get acquitted. We need to try him downtown where he's going to get convicted. I blame that on the state.
What were you saying, Art?
Well, I was going to say that, in the Bronco, he didn't just have the gun, Nancy, which led everyone to believe, oh, he's going to go kill himself. But he had a wig, he had money, he had an instant escape kit for a vacation in Mexico, possibly. So, this was not someone who purely, he didn't have the courage to kill himself, probably. But the main thing was, this was not something that was cut and dried. And so if you look at all the details, this was someone who was, was running from his own shadow and his own soul.
This is what I know. He got the golden key. He had his whole life in front of him once he had that not guilty verdict, which is totally wrong. And what did he do? He squandered the rest of his life. He never made good with the victims' families. And spent out his days denying. O.J. Simpson, you never got justice here on earth, but you're getting it tonight with Satan. Let's stop and remember American hero Officer Tuan Lee, just 36, shot in the line of duty serving residents of Oakland, California. He leaves behind his wife, his mother, and his family. American hero, Officer Tuan Lee. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us, but especially to you for being with us tonight and every night. Nancy Grace signing off. Good night, friend.